I just want to say that the Lord has blessed you guys with wonderful, amazing pastors, Pastor Ramesh and Pastor Elsie. Let's give the Lord a big hand for their lives. You're truly blessed, and I want to encourage you to treasure them, amen? To love them, to pray for them, to encourage them. You know, to be there. You know, sometimes we have the wrong mentality that the pastor's got to be there always for me. Let's change that and say, no, we have to be there for them. Amen? And one thing I like to say is President Kennedy one time said, he said, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country, right? So I say to the body of Christ, don't ask what your pastor can do for you. Ask, what can I do for my pastors? Amen? And I believe God is going to use you guys to impact this area, this community, together as you work together, supporting the vision, standing behind the vision that the Lord's placed in this house to be a house of revival, to be a house of love, to be a house where people can come and experience the love of Jesus, the forgiveness of Christ, new life, the power of the Holy Spirit, be healed, be transformed, be filled. And I believe God's placed you in this place to be a place of healing, of just for this community, for a place for people to come and just experience the living God. Amen. I have the greatest news for you this morning that you're ever going to hear in all of your life. Jesus Christ has risen. Christos Vostres. That's in Ukrainian. My mom is from Ukraine, and every morning on Easter, she will wake us up, and the first thing she will say, Christos Vostres. That means Jesus has risen. Because when she was growing up, her mom, every Easter morning, she will wake her up, say, Christos Vostres. So this is the morning where we celebrate the victory over death. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Amen? And because he lives, we have a hope that we are also going to live. Because he's defeated death for us, we have that assurance that we are also going to live forever like he's going to live forever. And what a tremendous hope to have. And what an amazing God to serve who's alive. No, he's not in the tomb somewhere laying like somewhere. No, he's alive. And even greater than that, he's here. The Bible says where two or three are gathering his name. You know, we're gathering the name of Jesus. He is here. And where he is, the supernatural takes place. Where he is, lives are healed, lives are transformed. Where he is, he speaks to our hearts. So I believe this morning, Jesus is going to be healing the sick. If you came with pain in your body, if you came with some sickness, some disease, whether literal, whether impossible for the medical science, medical doctors to heal, when Jesus is present, miracles and healings take place. So this morning, we're going to have a time of ministry to pray for the sick. But not only that, but when Jesus is present, he also speaks to us. You know, Jesus is still speaking to his church. He still speaks to our lives. And he can speak to you through dreams. How many say amen? How many ever received a dream from the Lord? Not all dreams are from the Lord, but when he speaks to you through a dream, you know he's been speaking to you. It's like the presence of God is all over that dream. The Lord speaks through my wife through dreams, and every time she's got a dream, I really pay attention because I know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. He can speak to you through a prophetic word. How many say amen? Amen. The Lord spoke to Louis and I this morning through prophetic words. You know, we went into the prayer room on the side, and we want to receive from the Lord, so they prayed for us, and God spoke to us through the prophetic, you know, and God speaks through his prophets, and he also can speak to you many different ways. He can speak to you through nature. He can speak to you through other people. He can even speak to you through unbelievers. I don't know if it's ever happened to you that if you have ears to hear, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. He even spoke through a donkey one time. You know, he can speak in many different ways. You just have to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking. But the Number one and most important way he speaks is through the word of God. Amen? And he will never speak anything that contradicts the word of God. So I believe God wants to speak to you and he wants to speak to me this morning through his word. Together with my wife, we have a ministry where we travel to many different countries of the world, taking the gospel of Jesus. This year, we're going to be in all five continents ministering the gospel. We go to many different nations, and what we do is we share the gospel, we pray for the sick, and we also minister to the youth, and we pray for young people to receive the fire of the Holy Spirit like we did here in Fresh Wind, which was amazing. How many saw it online? Anybody saw it online? You saw it online? So he was working there online. That's awesome. That's amazing, you know, how we can be ministering here and people see it all over the world through the internet. So we do those two things. And one of the things we do is we make little videos and we post them on the internet so people can see what God is doing in different places in the world. If you would like to see these little videos, we're going to be making even one of Fresh Wind. You can go to our website and you can send us your email, and we send these videos to your email from different parts of the world. The website is very easy to remember. It's spiritofthelord.com. So if you love the spiritofthelord.com, you're never gonna forget our website. So you can go in there and give us your email. We'll send you the video. We're working on one now from Panama, right? From Panama. We were just in Panama. We just got back. We were in an open-air crusade there. It's amazing because the platform was right here, and there were streets right on both sides, cars driving, and all the people right in the middle. And it was awesome because God began to do amazing miracles, you know. In that just crusade alone, like, we had a lady who was deaf in one ear. The Lord opened up her ear. Tumors disappeared from people's bodies. We saw the Lord heal this man from Parkinson. He came to the front and stretched his hand. He wasn't shaking anymore. Like, and he walked in the stage. It was amazing. We saw so many miracles. But the most amazing thing, all the people who came and gave their lives to Jesus. You know, all the people that come and give their lives to the Lord. So we go to many different places. And we love to be connected here with Toronto because I believe this is a move of the Holy Spirit that the Lord wants to use also to impact the Toronto area, but also the nations of the world. And it was amazing to see at Fresh Wind just young people from different nations, different cities, and how God is using this place to bless this next generation that's coming up with the presence of God, with the message from his heart towards this generation. So I want to encourage you to also support the vision of Toronto, you know, like he was talking about what God is doing here in this area and how God is using it to touch the world. So if you have your Bible this morning, we're going to open in the book of Matthew chapter 6, 25. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you and to me this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is Jesus speaking to you. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I'm going to say amen. Amen. Jesus knows that one of the things we struggle with among many others, as humans, is something called worrying. Worrying is a fear of the unknown. Worrying is when you think about your life or your future and you begin to meditate on the negative things that may happen to you. Especially nowadays, you turn on the television, any news thing you're going to hear, all you're going to hear is negative things being spoken over you and to you about the economy, about the future. They're going to tell you all the problems. And all of a sudden, all this worrying takes place, a hold of you, about this uncertainty about your life, about your future, about your family. You hear about what's happening with the young people, and you begin to worry about your kids. You go to the doctor, and you feel this pain here, and you begin to worry. You're going to have a heart attack. You go, you know, and all this worrying takes a hold of our lives, and it's a fear that paralyzes us and does not allow God to fulfill his dreams through our lives. Worrying, Jesus said, is the complete opposite of faith. Worrying will make you believe and meditate and confess the negative, when faith is makes you believe and meditate and confess God's promises for your life. When you see God and you see his promises, it's going to remove the worrying and the fear and the anxiety about your provision and about your food and what you're going to eat and where you're going to live and how you're going to pay your bills and how you're going to take care of so many things that's happening, your mortgage and all these things. And you're going to begin to trust God to provide for everything else. And he will. He says to us, don't worry about those things, Jesus says. You know, people will tell you, you know, don't worry so much. That's what people say. But Jesus says, don't worry at all. Don't worry at all. I mean, don't worry just even a little bit, he says. The people of this world, or Gentiles, you know, we're Gentiles, but now we've been adopted into the family of Christ. So we're part of the family of Christ by faith, amen? We're part of the chosen people but by faith, amen? So we can partake of this promise ourselves. The Gentiles, the people of this world, they worry about these things. Actually, they live for these things. They get up in the morning, and what motivates them is this: getting a bigger house, getting a nicer car, going to work, paying for their bills. That's what drives them. Why do they go to work? Why do we go to work? Because of those things. But Jesus said, that's not what you should seek for in your life. That's not what you should live for. That should not be what you long for. That's not what you should desire, he says. We should seek instead the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, if you seek these two things, everything else will be added unto you. I'm going to say amen. Amen. He says to us, instead of worrying, seek. Change your thoughts of fear. Change your attitude of worrying into an attitude of seeking. When a worry comes into your life, when fear, when anxiety comes into you, take those thoughts away and say, Jesus said not to worry. He told me to seek because I am his child. And he loves me more than the birds of the air, more than the grasses of the field. And if he takes care of those, how much more he's not going to take care of me. Amen. But he puts two conditions. He says, you need to seek these two things in your life. He makes it very simple for us. First, you must seek the kingdom of God. The first thing you got to seek in your life, Jesus said, not I. You know, it's not my message. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God if we need to seek it first? What is the kingdom of God? The Bible talks about the kingdom of God as the manifest presence, the sphere, the glory of heaven here on earth. The kingdom of God is where God's will is established and performed. Jesus prayed saying, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So religion will say, you know, when you die, you get to experience heaven. if you believe in Christ. But Jesus said, you don't have to wait till you die. You need to pray for heaven to come to you, for the kingdom of heaven to come to you. And when you experience heaven on earth, then the will of God is done on earth just like it's being done in heaven. What does that mean? In heaven, there's no sickness. There's no pain. You're not going to find one sick person in this world. In heaven. In this world, you will, but in heaven, you won't. And I was ministering close to the border with Mexico. We're having an event over there. And the worship leader was the son of the pastor. And we began to talk. And he said, we began to talk about encounters with the Holy Spirit. And he said when he was about 12 years old, an evangelist came to his church. And he called the young people to the front. And he began to lay hands on the young people. And the young people began to fall under the power of God. And the Holy Spirit touched him when he was 12. And he fell on the church, and he began to cry. He began to weep and laugh, and he couldn't stop for 1 hour, 2 hours. He took him home. It was late at night, and he was still laughing. So they laid him on the living room, you know, and they're just sitting around looking at him like, what's happening, you know? He's like a 12-year-old kid. And suddenly he began to see angels in the room. And then he's on the floor, and he's saying, Dad, I see these gates. I see these pearly gates, and his dad said, go in, you know. So he said, I'm going in. And pretty much he had a vision of heaven. And he entered into heaven, and he saw the streets of gold. He saw the throne of God, the angels of the Lord worshiping him. And he said that in heaven, he saw his grandfather. And he said that his grandfather, he would say, Dad, you know, my grandpa is here. And what impacted him, he said that when he saw his grandfather in heaven, he did not have glasses. So as a 12-year-old, he will tell his father, here's grandpa, but he doesn't have the glasses on, you know? He's not wearing any glasses. Why? Because in heaven, there's no sickness, no pain. Every sickness, every disease is healed in heaven, you know? So when the kingdom of heaven comes, sickness, pain leaves. Miracles take place. Jesus told his disciples to preach saying, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you receive. Freely give. So when the kingdom of heaven comes, miracles take place. Healings take place. The kingdom of heaven, in heaven there's no poverty. So when the manifest presence of God comes into your life, God's blessing also comes in your finances. God blesses everything you touch, not because of you, but because of the kingdom of heaven. The glory of God brings financial blessings too. Look at where the Ark of the Covenant, where the glory of God was. He stayed at this house, and everything in this man's house was blessed simply because of the presence of God there. In heaven, you know, there's no sorrow. There's no depression. In heaven, there's only joy. So when heaven comes, the manifest presence of heaven comes, depression, fear, anxiety, all these things just leave your life, and God manifests his joy in your heart when the kingdom of heaven comes. The Bible says this, the kingdom of heaven is not in word but in power. And the kingdom of God does not consist in eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14:17. You know, in most churches today, what you see is a lot of words, a lot of eating, and a lot of drinking. You know, you go to church and you know, hear a lot of sermons. Ooh, up to here with sermons, you know. You know, hear so many teachings. And it's good. We need that. But that's not the kingdom of heaven, that according to the Bible. You're going to go to churches and they're going to have food. They're going to have coffee. They're going to have this and all these things, and those are all great things. But Jesus said that the kingdom of God does not consist on those things. The kingdom of God consists in his power manifesting. The kingdom of heaven consists in righteousness, in joy, in peace, in the Holy Spirit. So that's why we gotta seek, Jesus said. That's what we got to seek, the kingdom of heaven first. Jesus told us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if we want to experience the kingdom of heaven, If you want to experience his power, his joy, his peace, if you want to experience his righteousness, he said that the first thing we must all do is repent. You cannot find it, you cannot experience it unless we first repent of our sins. And you know, we all hear this message that God wants to bless you, that God wants to love you, that God wants to heal you, that God wants to prosper you, that God is a good God, and that is the truth. I'm going to say amen. Amen. But it's not the full truth. Unless you repent, you're not going to be experiencing this in your life. You're not going to be experiencing his blessing. You're not going to be experiencing his joy. You're not going to be experiencing his peace. You're not going to be experiencing his power unless we first make a decision to repent, to turn away from our sins, to place our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior, as the Lamb of God who takes away not only the sin of the world, but he takes away my sin, and make a decision to change the way we live, and we make a decision to seek the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The Bible says that the kingdom, the law and the prophets were until the John the Baptist, but now the kingdom of God is being announced, and everyone is pressing into it. So to seek the Lord, the kingdom of heaven is going to take something on your part. It's going to take you seeking. It's going to take you taking it. It's going to take you pressing into it. It's going to take on your side desiring, longing for it, and you will experience it on earth. The Bible also says that, sadly, I don't know why, but it's very difficult for you guys to experience it here in Canada. You say, why? Because you're rich. Say, I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. You're very wealthy compared to the rest of the world. If you put like all the salaries of the people in the world, you're probably in the top 1%. So you're considered rich. Compared to what the world is experiencing, if you travel a little bit and you go to anywhere in Central, South America, Africa, even Asia, you're going to see poverty. You're going to see here, I mean, this place is like a palace compared to some of the churches I've been to. It's a mansion. And Jesus said it is harder to get one rich person to experience heaven here on earth, to experience heaven, to go to enter the kingdom of heaven, than getting a camel through the eye of a needle. I don't know why this is, but Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say blessed are the poor materialistically. He said blessed are the poor in spirit. But I don't know why, but usually the poor materialistically in the material world are also poor in spirit. And the rich in this world are also rich in spirit. I've been ministering in really poor areas of the world. And I've been to these places where, I mean, it's like cement floors and we're out in the open air. And these people have nothing. But you walk there and the kingdom of heaven is there. And the glory of God is there. And they see miracles, they see signs, they see wonders. I mean, miracles happen like this. I mean, by the hundreds of testimonies of miracles of people being healed. And you see these things happening. And you say, they're poor in spirit. Therefore, they get to experience the kingdom of heaven here on earth. They're poor. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Is that they know they're needy. They know they're dependent on God alone. And they know that they are willing, I don't know how to put this, but to humble themselves. To humble themselves. That's the word, to humble themselves. You know, I was walking in the streets in Colombia, and this man came to me and knelt down before me, stretched his hand, and asking me for money. When do you see that in Canada happen? Somebody willing to kneel down before another man to ask for money. He was in, because of his need, they're willing to humble themselves. And I told him, of course, no, don't kneel before me. You know, I'm not God. You know, kneel before Jesus. But that attitude of the heart attracts the presence of God. When there's a prideful spirit, like, I got it together, I don't need the Lord, you know, like, I am the one, you know. And those people, it's very hard to experience heaven on earth. That's why it's so much harder for us to experience revival here in the United States or North America than other places of the world, because we're rich. But God is not saying be poor. He's saying be rich. God wants to bless you financially, but he's saying be poor in spirit. Keep that attitude in your heart of being humble, humility, of being willing to humble yourself before the Lord, of saying, Lord, I am nothing without you. I depend on you. I need on you. And when you come to him with that humility in your heart, you will experience heaven. You know, I've been to some churches in the U.S., the most beautiful buildings you will ever see. Wow, lights, technology, AC, carpet. You sit on the chairs and he's like, man, he's like, you're sitting on a couch at your home. You know, you don't want to get up, you know. And it's just awesome. You walk in there, the kingdom of heaven is not there. You don't feel nothing. The glory of God is not there. There's no miracles. There's no healings. There's no signs. There's no wonders. There's not people being delivered. There's not people being transformed. There's not people experiencing the joy of the Lord. And there's not people experiencing peace. You know, because the kingdom of heaven is near to the brokenhearted. Jesus said, if you want to experience heaven, this is what I love about the Lord, you know. He's just amazing. People here will tell you, hey, man, learn from the rich. They will tell you, buy this book, Seven Keys of How to Get Rich, you know. And people buy all these books of how to make easy money, you know, and there's all these info commercials how you can be rich through real estate and this, or how, you know, like how Trump made it, and you want to learn from them, and you see a rich person, hey, how did you make it, you know? And Jesus said, no, don't learn from them, learn from the poor. And we as humans, we said, we need to learn from the elderly, and that's great, you know, but Jesus said, learn from the children. He said, if you want to experience the kingdom of heaven, you need to be like a child, he said. He said, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. He said, because the ones that are like this, and he put it in little child. You need to be like this child if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven and experience the kingdom of heaven. Little children, I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old little girl. Little children are gullible. They believe stories. You got to be careful what you impart into them, because what you tell them, they believe it. Whether good or bad, they take it and they believe it. I mean, it's amazing how they soak up everything that you tell them. And as we grow older, we lose that quality of being just a simple faith of just believe, not having to understand it or having an explanation for it or going through the scientific method in order to be able to prove it to me. If you prove it to me, then I'll believe it. That's what we grow up, especially in the Western culture. We need proof. Prove it to me, and then I'll believe it. But Jesus said, you will never experience the kingdom of heaven with that mentality. If you want to experience the kingdom of heaven, if Jesus said it, I believe it. It's that simple. If it's in this word, I believe it. People tell, oh, try to prove it to me, explain it to me. How did creation take place in six days? I don't know. I believe it. People, no, that was through evolution. No, he said it. It's in the Bible. 6 days. Man, he did it in 6 days. He created this whole universe in 6 days. I believe it. Jesus said, he will supply all of my needs. All of my needs. All of them. He said it, I believe it. He says, by his stripes, I am healed. Oh, but explain it to me. How does a miracle take place? You know, how does a blind person see? I don't know. I believe it. Amen. Jesus said it, I believe it. It's just that simple. He said that everyone who believes in him will be saved. You believe in Jesus? you'll be saved. It's just that simple. I receive it. I believe it. Having that faith like a little child. If you want to receive healing this morning, all you have to do is believe. It's just that simple. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have somebody explain it to you. You don't have to know everything about the covenants. And you don't have to. All you have to know is say, Jesus, you healed 2,000 years ago everybody who came to you. Jesus, you said you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you're in their midst. You said it. I believe it. I don't see you. When I said Jesus is here, how many of y'all believed it? Someone was like, I don't see him. Where is he at? I want to meet him. So you don't have to see him. You just have to believe it because he said it. And since you're here, I believe you're going to heal me. And he's going to heal you. Just that simple. You know, I cannot explain it. You have to have that faith like a child. A child is in awe of his father. I love that about my son. He loves me, you know. He loves me. I don't know why, but he loves me. My little girl, she loves me. I don't know why, but she loves me. And they, you know, my little girl sometimes comes to me and she just sits on my lap. This is all she does, you know. She just looks at me and she goes like this in my face. She just looks at me and goes like this in my face. And man, it just melts my heart, you know. He's like, she can even talk. She's 1 year old, but she can, like, she just goes like that. And I'm going to cry right here, you know. But that's what God wants you to do, you know. Just to be in awe of him. Just to love him for who he is, you know. Just to have that admiration. The moment you lose that, you're going to lose your ability to experience heaven on earth. The moment you lose your awe, your admiration for your father, is the moment you're going to lose your experiencing the heaven here on earth. You have to have that childlike heart. Not childish, it's a difference. Childlike heart. Have the attitude of a son who's in awe of his father. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven, I mean, all he talked about was this. His whole message was on this. All he ever spoke about was this. It's like a treasure, he says, the most valuable thing that you have. He said it's like a net when you throw it out. It brings people to the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that's in your heart, and then it grows, you know. The kingdom of heaven is within you, Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven comes upon you when you minister in power. He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then you know that the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. The kingdom of heaven is a manifestation of power to deliver. And Jesus said that there's a reward. There's a reward for those who seek him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 21, as surely I say to you that there's no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. He said, if you leave the things of this world for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, he's going to reward you here on this life. He didn't say, just, oh, wait till you die. He said, here, now, in this life, he said, in this life, he's going to give you 10 times more, 10 times more. He's going to give you many times more of what you left. And even greater than that, he's going to give you eternal life. Say amen. Isn't that wonderful news? The Bible says the good news that the kingdom of heaven is within the reach of your hand. When you turn from your sins, you repent from your sins, and you seek his kingdom, the kingdom of God is going to come within you. Righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit is going to come within you. But Jesus said it's not enough just to seek the kingdom of heaven. It's not enough. He said, we also have to seek righteousness. Seek the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Sadly, today, you find churches and people and Christians on either side. You find churches and Christians that all they seek is the kingdom of heaven and the glory of God. That's all they seek, and that's they long for, and they live for that. And there's other Christians and other churches that all they seek is righteousness. We have to be righteous. We have to be holy. We have to walk according to his laws and according to his commandments. And Jesus said, it's not about being one or the other. It's about being both. It's about seeking both. It's not just about experiencing his glory and his kingdom here. He said, you also must seek his righteousness. We cannot forget about seeking his holiness. Seeking to be holy and to be righteous because he's holy and because he's righteous. It doesn't mean that you are righteous and that you are holy. It means that you long for and you desire to be righteous and to be holy. I am not perfect. Elsie said it, you know, we all sinned this week. But I don't want to sin anymore. How many say amen? It's not like I sinned this week and I go next week, I'm going to sin again and come back on Sunday and Jesus, praise the Lord, Jesus forgives me and just continue to live in that. Oh, God, he's good. He loves me. He's going to forgive me every weekend. I don't want that for my life. I want to seek. I want to desire to be holy because he's holy. I want to be perfect. And I know I'm going to make mistakes, but that's not my desire is not to make mistakes. My desire is not to sin. My desire is to be righteous. My desire is to be holy. I want that for my life. I want it. I want it. I desire. I long for it. First of all, you must understand that there's a gift of righteousness. It's called imputed righteousness. We heard today that children read that verse that says that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we may become the righteousness of God. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. The Bible speaks in Romans 5:17 about the gift of righteousness. Romans 4:6 talks about God imputing his righteousness upon our lives. What does that mean? It means that the moment you repent from your sins and you believe in Jesus Christ and you trust in his work on the cross, on his sacrifice, the moment you do that, he gives you a gift called righteousness. He pretty much says, you are holy before my eyes. You're justified by faith. You become just and holy by faith. Before the eyes of the Lord, he sees you holy. Even though you may not see yourself holy or others not see yourself holy. But when God sees you holy. He sees you righteous. He's justified you and made you holy by faith. And that is our identity in Christ. There's a difference between your standing and your state. Your standing is righteous. Your state is a sinner. You should desire for your standing and your state to be righteous. You should long for not only for your standing to be righteous, but also for your state to be righteous. I want to stand righteous before the Lord. Jesus said it like this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. Is that what he said? We like to change that, you know. We like to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the Lord. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God. Oh, I hunger and I thirst for his presence. He said, if you want to be filled, how many want to be filled? I want to be filled. If you want to be filled, you got to hunger and you got to thirst to be holy, to be righteous, like he's righteous. Three words, seek, hunger, thirst for righteousness. Very simple. If you do these two things, he will add everything else unto you. Everything else. everything else will be added unto you. You won't even have to ask him or pray for it. He will add it unto your life. He will just bring it to you. He will bring it to you. This is the word of the Lord. He will just add it to you. Now, if you just seek one thing, he's not going to add everything to you. If you seek the other thing, he's not going to add everything. If you don't seek either, forget it. You have no chance. But if you seek these two things, everything else, he will add it to you. Now, I've been in ministry for 10 years, over 10 years, like 11 years. And for 11 years, I live by faith. I've never had a salary from a church or from a company or nobody. For 10 years, since the moment I started, I began living by faith. For 11 years, I have never asked for one offering. I have never stood behind the pulpit and said, you know, give me an offering for ministry. I need to go preach over here or, you know, never asked one time for money. Never. For 11 years, I have never sold a product. I have never stood behind a church and said, here's my CD, here's my book, sign it, you know, give me $10. It's for missions, you know, I need to go and share the gospel with others, you know, never. For 11 years, I have never had lack of nothing. Nothing. For 11 years, the Lord has supplied all of my needs, every single one of all of my needs. For 11 years, I traveled around the world. I mean, expensive trips for free. I got to see the world for free. The Lord's blessed me with a new house, a new car, beautiful wife, beautiful children, health. He's blessed me with everything else people seek for and work for and long for. And he just added unto me because this word is true. If you seek his kingdom, and you seek his righteousness, he will add everything else to you. You can go to sleep in peace, not worry one more day of your life, because he, your Father in heaven, will take care of you. Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to ask you just for a few moments, just simply to close your eyes right there where you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask if there's someone who can come and just play a little music, a little worship, sing a worship song to the Lord. As you close your eyes for a moment, right there where you are, Jesus says to you, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. The kingdom of heaven is close to you this morning. You may not see it. All you have to do is believe it. The kingdom of heaven is within the reach of your hand. But if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means to repent from your sins. It means to make a decision to turn away from your sins. It doesn't simply mean that you say, Jesus, I believe in you. No. You must repent from your sins. You must make a decision to turn away from your sins and believe that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is enough and is all you'll ever need for all of your sins to be forgiven. You must turn from your sins and you must make a decision to seek his kingdom. With your eyes closed, if you want to say this morning, Jesus, I want to turn away from my sins and I want to believe in you and seek your kingdom. I'm going to ask you right there where you are to simply lift up both hands to heaven. Just lift them up as high as you can. And with your hands uplifted, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me and pray from your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Lamb of God. I believe on the cross you became sin, that I may become the righteousness of God. I believe that you died on the cross, and I also believe that you were raised from the dead. And because you live, I can experience heaven here on earth. Jesus, forgive my sins. I make a decision to turn away from my sins, to forsake my evil ways. And I make a decision to seek, to take, to press into your kingdom. Let your kingdom come to my life, to my family. Let your kingdom come into my heart. Let your joy come into my heart. Let your peace come into my heart. Let your righteousness come into my heart. Let your power come into my heart. Let your kingdom come into this city, Lord. Into this nation, Lord. Let your kingdom come, Lord. And let your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom be, let your will be done in my family, like in heaven. In this city, let your will be done, Lord.